Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh.
Erin Addison's
on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And Sherry B is over in Studio CC. We're going to open the phone lines up immediately today because we did not get an opportunity to take calls yesterday. The number is 888-589-8840. You're only chomping at the bit to call if you listened yesterday and you had some commentary on our discussion. You were like, well, is she or isn't she going to open the phone lines? And we're going to do that today. So here's the number, 888-589-8840. Yesterday, we were talking about having a defense of the faith, a defense for the faith when the accusation is made that Christianity is the white man's religion.
Mm-hmm.
How do you defend the faith in the face of that? How do you discuss racism? And how do you discuss slavery? That question often comes up when you look at the Bible. How do you discuss the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter's letters and things like that? So that's what we talked about yesterday, just by way of jogging your memory. Now, if you weren't listening yesterday, there's no amount of jogging that can just make you know what was discussed. Right,
right? You had to be there, man. You had to be there.
That's probably one of the worst phrases that people ever hear.
What?
Like, oh man, you missed it. You had to be there.
Oh yeah, you missed it.
You had to be there. You know, you always, you kind of groan when you hear someone say something like that.
Yeah.
But this is one of those conversations where you did need to be a part of the discussion. And if you were listening in yesterday and you thought, I would really like to talk to her about this, I'd really like to respond. I really have some comments of my own. I have some thoughts. We wanted to give you an opportunity to be able to do that. And so the number again is 888-589-8840. Yesterday, we were talking about the rich history we have in the church and how we've got to be able to defend the history of Christianity and the history of the church against those kinds of accusations, especially in the time that we're living in now, because racial tensions have risen in this country. I mean, it's unimaginable where we are right now. And you think that we have come so far. You think that we would see ourselves as having come so far. But really, it's amazing that in a second, you know, with one viral video, it can upset people's relationships. It can upset people's families. It can upset the way we talk to one another, maybe even around the coffee pot and things like that.
So
I think we need to not be in that space as Christians.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it seems like you talked yesterday about how this stuff has a sensual appeal.
That's right.
And it's so easy to get caught up in, you know, and you may not even realize it, but being like a victim.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, because that soothes something in the flesh, like to feel like somebody owe me something or I've been done wrong and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, we have to not embrace that. You know, if we're going to say that we are a victor in church, and then the next day when we're at work, we're a victim because somebody's trying to hold us down. Which one is it?
Yeah, because they're mutually exclusive. You are either a victim or you are a victor. You are either more than an overcomer or you are overcome.
Yeah.
So you have to decide. And our culture right now is making it really sort of it's almost like it's pacifying to be a victim today.
Right.
It's pacifying. It makes you feel like you're doing something or putting in some work. So anyways, all right, let's go to the phone lines. If you have questions, comments, concerns about anything that we discussed yesterday, we want to start there and then move on to some other topics. We got to talk about FaceApp. We got to talk about FaceApp and how now you belong to the Russians.
Uh-oh.
You belong to the Russians. Anyways, all right, 888-589-8840. Will the Great, where do we go first?
Jacob in Alabama. Hey, Jacob.
Yeah, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good.
How's them children doing?
They're doing fine. What's your comment, Jacob?
Yeah, you always talking about Christianity, and that lady that called from Virginia mm-hmm. about saying she studied Christianity and all this kind of thing. But I think what it boils down to is that we're in a time that there's a lot of confusion going on. Mm-hmm. And the lady didn't sound like she was 14 years old. She sounded like she's much older. She should know better, you know, the difference between Christianity, studying Christianity and being a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we just got to pray for people, you know, because I know what y'all's position is, because being radio announcers, you just got to be really prayed up, because I was really shocked when she said that I studied Christianity. I'm like, white man's religion? I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this is like when I was growing up, I grew up in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand somebody at that time saying it. But 2019, it's like something's wrong with that picture.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
What do you think, Jacob? I'm just curious. I want to understand your comment. What do mm-hmm. you think would make it understandable for someone to say that in the 60s versus 2019? Like, help me understand what you're saying the difference should be by now.
Well, in the 60s, there was a lot of people that didn't really understand about Christianity. You know, they went to church. They didn't really, they wasn't as advanced as far as really studying the Bible and understanding what it's saying.
Okay, so you're saying access to information and access to research
right.
makes the difference. Okay, I got you. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, no apologetics in the 60s.
Yeah, no.
In 2019, you got apologetics. You've come a long way. And it's like for someone to say something like that, you know, like they're stuck.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
really stuck.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Jacob. I appreciate you making that point. Thank you so much for calling. I agree with Jacob that, you know, when we talk about being able to defend the faith and we talk about having access to apologetics, it really does leave us without excuse, to say nothing of the fact that returning to studying and searching the scriptures out mm-hmm. for ourselves
yeah.
provides us with, I would say, the best apologetic.
Yeah, and it's funny because apologetic. I had a talk with Alex McFarlane. He was saying that when he started doing apologetics conferences, like around the time he started doing it, he was the only one.
Yeah.
Now there's
yeah.
a bunch
there's
of different ones.
All kinds
ones,
of apologetics
you know.
Conferences.
So Jacob's
I will
right
say this,
that.
Though. I will say this, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. If you want to talk to us, you want to comment, the topic of the conversation is what we discussed yesterday. Didn't have time to open the phone line, so we want to do that in the beginning of this show. 888-589-8840 is the number that you're going to call if you want to converse. 888-589-8840. I will say this, though. I think historically, when apologetics grew in popularity, it mm-hmm. was more of a scientific defense of the faith.
Mm.
And I think that that's where people tended to hang out a whole lot. I think we need to continue with a scientific defense of the faith. You know, how do you make the case for Christianity? I think it needs to increasingly include the historicity of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is also a new lane that must be carved out in the way of apologetics. And I think it would be something that would fall in the category of, like, say, cultural apologetics.
Mm.
Why do we take current positions on issues based on a defense of the faith? I'll give you an example and then we'll go to the phone lines. When someone demands that you use their personal pronouns, what they have elected to call themselves,
right.
and you say no, well, your defense of that needs to be a biblical one. Your defense of that needs to be for the glory of God, not just because it makes you feel icky.
Mm.
You need to say, you know what? I'm tasked with not doing anything against the truth, only for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot agree with a lie. What's at stake here? The understanding that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And if we call into question the creation account, then we've also got to call into question the rebellion and the fall. So ultimately what we get to is that the account of creation,
mm-hmm.
God's plan to redeem man after his rebellion, we've got to say that that's up for debate. So you can see that this is not just a willy-nilly position that we take, that ultimately what it rises and falls on is the truth and protecting the gospel.
Mm.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Where do we go next, Will the Great?
Jim in Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, yeah. My name is Tim, by the way. But
oh, Tim, okay. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Hey, I'm about as wide as you can get. And when I was listening yesterday, I thought, man, you guys have such good points, and you were going really deep into the Word, and I love that. It was so, so good. I feel like a lot of times when I'm working and I'm around a lot of people that are, you know, of color, I feel like I just don't have a word or anything that I can really share with them.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys did such a good job with that. I you know, when you said, yeah, the Bible, it's a white man's message, it's a black man's message, it's everyone's message, it's
yeah.
everyone's word. It's not just for one set of people.
That's right.
That was so good to be able to share that with so many people. And that's I'm going to use that. It was so good.
Praise mm-hmm. God.
You know, we gotta get outside of our boxes that we put everybody in.
Yeah.
And say, it's not just about this. It's not just about this. This message is not just about this point. It's about every situation that we live our lives in.
Yeah.
We gotta get outside of the boxes that we've been in and get out of that and get to the actual gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to live at.
Mm.
So good. I really appreciate what you guys do.
Man, God bless you, Tim. Thank you so much for calling in. I want to encourage you. And I want to point something out, and we'll go back to the phone lines here, but I just wanted us to be able to have a little bit of a dialogue. I appreciate our brother Tim calling in. Let me also point something out. The enemy wants to incapacitate the people of God. He wants to make you so that you cannot spread the gospel. Understand this, that the enemy of our soul, the enemy of the souls of men, does not want you to spread the gospel.
Right.
So if he can continue to have this great chasm that exists between people based on their culture, then he wins.
Right.
So look, we don't need to let the world tell us what we think about each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have a biblical narrative that we submit to.
Amen.
We have a biblical account of creation that we submit to. So we can talk to people based on that truth. It is a truth that transcends culture.
That's right.
It transcends ethnicity. People will say, well, you don't understand what I've been through. No, I don't. I've not lived your experiences. I don't know what you've been through, but I know the one who does.
Mm-hmm.
That message still works.
Yeah.
And guess what? The Holy Spirit takes that seed that you plant. The Holy Spirit, the Lord God himself, gives the increase. And so I encourage everyone who's listening to continue on in the work of evangelism and to not be dismayed. Can
Amen.
We squeeze in one more call before we go to this break?
Yes.
All right.
Let's go to Charles in McKinney, Texas.
Hey, good afternoon. How y'all doing?
Good
afternoon.
Good.
The idea that Christianity is a white man religion, you have to go back to three words, in the beginning. You got to go there. Because after in the beginning, you had Adam. And everyone came from Adam. Even though salvation came through the Jews, we have a right to be born into that. We were grafted into that salvation by accepting the Jew himself, the second Adam, Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have a daughter. I'm a Christian, been a Christian for a long time. I have a daughter who's hooked on this humanistic religion, and I constantly pray and talk to her and show her things about, hey, this it's nothing new under the sun, it's humanistic belief.
Right.
But that's all it is. You got to go back to in the beginning.
That's
Amen.
Right. Thank
Amen.
You so
Thank
much,
you, Charles.
Charles. I appreciate you calling in. Let's try to squeeze in one more call before we go to the break. Will the Great? Where
Let's
do we
see.
Go?
Let's go to Keith in Virginia. Hi, Keith.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
One question.
Okay.
Two questions, actually. What color is God, and what color is oxygen?
Okay.
Okay. Well, I don't know the color of oxygen. And I don't know the color of God unless you want to ascribe a color to inapproachable light.
Mm.
Okay. Because a pastor did a sermon on that, and that opened my eyes. Because I'm like, he's colorless. There's no color to oxygen. So how can you base colors? And God decided to create us all of different colors and races and sizes. So.
Mm-hmm.
And to talk about this political stuff that's going on, it seems like we're going in reverse instead of forward.
Mm,
well, that's why we're right. here. That's why we are here, Keith, because I'm going to tell you something. And this is what I was thinking about this on the way, like to do the program today. And I was just asking the Lord to grace us and to help us, because one of the things that we've got to do is we've got to have a long range game here. What's the end of all of our discussion about what's currently happening in pop culture, what's currently happening in politics? What's our end game,
yeah.
right? So what we know is that people who hate God are always thinking long term. They are always 10, 15 years out.
Mm-hmm.
I say for the Christian, we're looking at 2020. For the liberal God haters, they're looking at 2024 and beyond.
Right. We always playing defense.
So we're always playing defense. So what we're trying to do here is to help believers be culture proof.
Amen.
How do we get Come the gospel now. Intact to the next generation?
Let's play
some
offense.
And that is not dependent on who's in the White House.
That's right. That's right.
All right. We got to grab the break. Aaron the Addisons, American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Here's American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, two Texans, support and believe in our ministry here at AFA and AFR.
We know more about the laundry business than anything else. We know a little bit about a lot of things, but we know a lot about the laundry and dry cleaning business.
They created a laundry detergent to sell to folks to support AFA.
We just want to be able to provide a product that can be used by AFA to support the ministry.
When you wash your family's clothes with Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, you can take great satisfaction in knowing that you're supporting the vital work of the American Family Association. It's a unique way to increase your giving to AFA. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more about the Redeem Clean products when you visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Up next, Carol Swain with 2 minutes to think about it. From poverty to professor, from GED to PhD, a bold Christian speaking truth to power. Here's Carol with today's 2 minutes.
Hello, folks. Ask the average American if they think God directly intervenes in historic events of our day, and at best you'll hear, I don't know, and more probably, I doubt it. Now I'm going to mention two ways God intervenes here, the pride and arrogance of men's hearts and minds, and the forces of nature. In June of 1940, the British Expeditionary Force, along with parts of the French Army, were trapped on the beach just outside the French town of Dunkirk, the German Army having them surrounded and poised to wipe them out. If 30,000 could be rescued, it would be a miracle, but over 300,000 made it home, thanks to hundreds of small boats aiding the rescue and the hubris of Hitler for stopping his armies, letting the Air Force try to finish the job, stroking Göring's vast ego. The pride in the hearts of men let those 300,000 escape to fight another day. In June of 1944, the Allies landed on French beaches in Normandy, but the results were not certain. Eisenhower had a speech ready to deliver if the invasion failed, a speech he might have given had Field Marshal Rommel been at the coast to bring reserves forward, repel the invasion, and not home for his wife's birthday, home because of bad weather in the English Channel. That would have a break just long enough to launch D-Day. We can still take heart that God is sovereign, and he will always have his day.
To learn more about Carol and the Carol Swain Foundation, visit carolmswain.net and make sure you follow her on Facebook at Professor Carol M. Swain and on Twitter at Carol M. Swain.
When I look in the mirror and don't like what I see, oh, I just thank you for always loving me. And I know I get
better. Welcome back to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. We've got a full bank of calls, so we're going to move through these calls here as expeditiously as we can. I just want to say thank you so much to all of our listeners for holding. This was a hot topic that we had yesterday, yeah. And I knew that people would want to respond, which is why I said, man, we've got to open the phone lines today just to hear from people, because we want to have a dialogue, mm-hmm. right? So you need at least two. At least two people to be able to do that. Let me say this one thing before we go back to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. As a Christian, you have more in common with another believer than you do with someone who shares your same skin color, someone who shares your same physical bloodline.
Man, say that.
And I wish that people understood that. When the gospel and when what Jesus Christ has done in your life is precious to you, you have more in common with a believer than you do with someone who shares your same skin color. Have you ever been in a room with someone and they're talking to you, and maybe you two are in the same color skin, just the outside, mm-hmm. the shell of the person, mm-hmm. and you think all of a sudden you go into this conversation where we're going to agree, and then they start talking and you're like, no, I don't agree with that at all.
Right, right.
But then you start talking to someone who doesn't have your same background, isn't even from the same country that you're from, but they share the same conviction that Jesus Christ purchased them, right. and you talk for hours, and you're like, oh my goodness.
Family. It's family.
Why? Because you have the one spirit indwelling
Amen.
You.
Amen.
All right, to the phone lines we go. Will the Great, next.
Let's go to Jamie in North Carolina. Hi, Jamie.
Hello there. Thank you. It's very nice to speak with you.
God bless you, Jamie.
Yes, yes. like that one caller that called some, about three calls ago. He said he was born white or European, whatever he is. Other than my tattoos, I'm a European descent, but I believe with all my heart that the black girls are the most awesome, most beautiful girls on all this planet. And, you know, that we all the church ought to know that Jesus Christ's blood runs red through all of us to save us from our sins. And they need to know to build the spiritual wall. You know, unlike this wall we keep hearing about the southern border, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But we need to build the wall that Nehemiah spoke of. And when any of these fools out here, you know, I'm trying to be kosher. These people out here that trying to take away from the message of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We need to have a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Mm. And when they mess with that spiritual wall, we're going to lay hands on them. That's what. So.
Oh, God bless you, Jamie. Let me say this. Hey, I just if I could piggyback on what Jamie is saying, I really appreciate what he's the observation that he's making. Let me tell you something. In our country, we made a mistake. In the United States, as great as we are and as great as we remain, we made a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what that mistake was. When you look at the history of the church, whenever Christians moved into an area, whenever Christians infiltrated a particular society, they changed that society. And I'm going to tell you what happened historically. No matter what was going on outside of the doors of the church, mm-hmm. when the body of Christ gathered inside the doors of the church, the culture was not taking over the church.
Come on.
There was a difference inside the church. Unfortunately, what happened in the United States of America, and this is a shame, and even today we talk black church, we say white church, and all these things.
Church, yeah.
What we didn't do in this country was say, you know what? We've got some disturbing trends and some disturbing norms that are happening outside of the culture.
Come on.
But that's not going to be present in the church. Instead, what we did was mirror what was happening in the culture.
Yeah.
And that's where we got it wrong. So the church has got to reclaim her distinction.
Yeah.
We've got to say, y'all are having a hiccup.
Right.
But we have already dealt with these issues because Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. And we don't take on the things that the world see as problems. That's, you know, like the things that they have and let all that come in.
That's right.
You know, that's what that wall
that Jamie was talking about
is
built.
That's you know,
right.
Okay, y'all have a problem with partiality and race and
mm-hmm.
all. Well, we know what to do about that because we have the scriptures.
That's right. That's right. We've got texts for that.
Amen.
All right, back to the phone lines, Will the Great.
David in Texas. Hi, David.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm driving through the woods, and I hope I wasn't going to lose you. I'm going to stop up here. You know, I was preaching in front of a congregation one day, and before I opened up, as I looked across, I could see black folks and white folks sitting in the congregation.
Mm.
And the Lord spoke to me real quick, like, because I don't always write my own notes. I try to stay on his agenda.
Amen.
He says, tell them how I see them.
Mm.
And I quoted, come out of my mouth, was Genesis 1:26, where it said, let us create man in our image and our likeness. And he says, tell them that the only colors I see is light and dark. He said, the people that have darkness in their spirit that is dead to me,
mm-hmm.
he said, I'm concerned for them, and I'm sending my son to reconcile them unto me. And those that are light are my children already, and they need to behave like my kids because they're living in a different kingdom.
Mm.
And so as I started preaching, I just got completely off my notes, and I got on God what God was speaking to me. And the thing that I'm telling folks is this. God don't see colors. All he wants to know is the salvation of your soul. If you are lost, dying, and going to hell, your skin color does not matter because eternally, your soul and your spirit will spend eternally in hell if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I tell people this all the time. People do not go to hell for their sins. They go to hell for denying Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior who died for their sins. And so when I talk to people, I don't even see color anymore. I used to back before I got born again. I mm-hmm. live in the South. I was raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
But understand, when I got born again, I now see people as God sees them. And when I look into their eyes, I'm a man of God, and I can discern the Spirit. I operate on the gifts of the Spirit. I can usually discern whether somebody is lost or born again just by looking into their eyes, because their eyes is a light into their soul.
God bless you, David. Let me, I want to say something. I hear what our brother is saying, and I agree. I believe that, excuse me, I believe it's important for us to understand that there are only two groups of people, mm-hmm. those who are redeemed and those who aren't.
Yeah.
But if I could encourage you, David, and maybe, you know, maybe, well, let me say it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I see color. I look at people and I see complexions. I see skin tone. And let me tell you something. I don't know any of us who would walk through, like, say, a botanical garden somewhere and would say, well, they're just flowers to me. I don't know anyone who would do that.
You would notice the
array of colors. You would notice that some are a little bit taller, some are a little bit shorter. You would notice the number of petals. You would notice the shape of those flowers. And all of that you'd look at and you'd glorify God. You'd say, man, God's creation, it's amazing.
Check, like, out the Natchez trees.
You'd be like, oh my goodness, look at these trees. Look at this. This is amazing. So you know what I tell people, David? You know what I say, brothers and sisters? I see color. Now, what I know what people mean. I know what David means when he says, I don't see color. He's saying, I'm not making a judgment about that person based on their color. And that's what you want.
Amen.
That's what you want.
Amen.
But please see color, because God has given us an array of colors and shades. And this is his beauty in creation expressed. Do you understand that? Like, man, we didn't, like, we tell our kids all the time, you know, we could have been made with just this sort of rote need to eat. Like, we just, like, must eat food. But man, God gave us taste buds.
Right.
And he allowed the food to be pleasing to our palate. So we don't just eat food because we have to live.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're from New Orleans. We make sure we live the next day so we can eat food. All right, that's a joke. Back to the phone lines. 888-589-8840. Yeah, who do we have?
We have Jason in Texas. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Will?
Doing good.
I can call y'all my brother and sister because, thank God, thank Jesus, me and my wife both got saved 8 years ago through my church.
Glory to God.
And truly opened my eyes. And, you know, I started actually paying attention to what's going on in the news and everything. And I'm starting to say they're going to take In God We Trust out of everything, take prayer out of everything. They want to rip out all the crosses. And, you know, it's just been crazy. And me and my wife was walking through Traders Village, and I saw a set of prayer hands on the wall. It was a sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought that sticker, and I stuck it on the back of my truck. And then I went and bought an In God We Trust and stuck that sticker on the back of my truck. You're just not going to take it away from me. And my mom called and told me about politics, and if we don't get Ted Cruz in the White House, basically giving our country away. So we voted for Ted Cruz. He didn't make it. Donald Trump did. So we voted Donald Trump. And the whole night, I knew Hillary was going to win because I was watching fake news. And I didn't know how bad it would have really been if Hillary would have won.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Donald Trump has won and everything that's been going on, these people just hate God and hate Christians so much.
Yeah.
And it actually helps me understand it better. I never could really understand Revelations, how so many people could be so lost-minded that a bunch of people disappear. And, you know, I understand.
You know, the question, thank you,
lost-minded.
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate you calling. Let me say something. What comes to my mind as I'm listening to Jason is that what you could see in this country post-2016 was dark forces just writhing. That's what you saw. When have you ever seen witches hold a hexing ceremony?
Right.
When have you ever seen something? So for the Christian, like I always say, you know, and we've had some conversations with some never Trumpers, which in my opinion, let me say something. Never Trumpers are irrelevant right now, because the whole point of being a never Trumper was that you were trying to say he'll never be in the White House. We'll never. You're done.
Right.
You're done, right? But my question was often to people was, I was like, I just want you to understand, just for 1 second, I'm not saying you have to agree with everything the president says. I'm not saying that you have to be on board with all of the language that the president uses, not by a long shot. But I just, my thing was always like, but hold on, I just want you to understand, you're actually on the side with the witches.
Right.
I just want people to stop for a second. That. Like, just take 1 second and just,
exactly.
And whenever you say that, somebody will go, well, no, but no, hold on. I want you to understand.
It's true,
the,
man.
The disdain that you have for him
mm-hmm.
is the same disdain that the witches have for him. So now you just stop and let that marinate for a second. Just,
right.
just let that marinate for a second. Just. You and the witches agree. All right. Back to the phone lines. Here we go.
Dwight in Texas. Hey, Dwight.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing good.
Anyway, you can hear me. All right. I'm going to make a quick statement, and then I'm going to get off the phone and let you talk about it. A couple callers ago, a gentleman said the three words in the beginning, showing that we're all one people. You don't have to go back that far. Just go back to Noah. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
I thought about that, too. Yeah, I did think about that. Dwight was the caller. I thought about that. I thought about starting with Noah, you know, starting over at Noah. So, yeah, I agree with you. Let's go to the next call. I mean, that's what do I add to that? Excellent point. Right, that's it. Sherry just threw up her hands. That's it. Move on. You excellent point. Who's next, Will?
CJ in North Carolina. Hey, CJ.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing good.
Okay. My contributions are simple, but my skepticism kind of was answered by your comments when you said that the church in America particularly failed when they failed to change the culture of America. Instead, the church assimilated the culture of America. Okay? Now, if we all acknowledge that as Christians, then it is time to change, okay? Because if you want to see the darkest side of this great country, don't go too far. 10 a.m. on Sunday, you will see how segregated America is, even in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing is done, it will be that way when Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus will rapture a white church. Jesus will rapture a black church. Jesus will rapture those who don't believe at all because of the attitude. Those who are Christians and who are white, who are not compassionate, who are so indifferent. Okay? Look at what is going on in the southern borders. I understand that evangelicals, even with me, I hate abortion. I know that all the support for Trump is just to change the Supreme Court so we can end the Roe v. Wade. But we cannot close our eyes to some other things.
CJ, let me say this. Let me say this. Let me say this, CJ. I hear the passion in your voice here, but let me say something here. If we can't make a quantum leap from talking about the problem that we have where the culture has infiltrated the church and the church has assimilated, like we can't make a quantum leap and then make that the responsibility of one group of people.
Mm.
All of us who bear the name Christian are responsible. We're all responsible for being salt and light.
That's right.
And let me say this too. Nations are God's idea.
Yeah.
Nations are the idea of the Lord. So when we are talking about securing our border, when we are talking about maintaining our sovereignty, we are not behaving in a way that is antithetical to our belief in the Lord. Those
right.
two ideas are not in conflict. It is not compassionate. Look, I say this all the time. And well, okay, and here's one other thing. And so our CJ said you turn on the radio, turn on AM on Sunday morning, and he said you can hear, you know, and I think he's alluding to that we have segregated churches.
Mm-hmm.
Look, here's the dirty little secret. The dirty little secret, because if we're going to slice down the middle here mm-hmm. and, you know, we just spent 6.5 years doing urban. All right. And
yeah.
I have to say this because yeah. I want you to know that these have been the topics of the conversation. So this
right.
is not meant to embarrass anybody or to say anything that's going to please one group of people and upset the other. This is to speak the truth. Here's the dirty little secret. Black people can be and are racist as well.
That's right.
Okay, CJ, I want you to know that. Look, I have encountered white people who show partiality, and I have encountered black people who show partiality. Both of them are an affront to the holiness of God.
Right.
There is no one person that gets a pass who can show partiality without judgment. All right, I'm going to keep, just take it down just a second, Mickey.
No, you're good.
Just a second.
No, you're good.
The color of one's skin does not insulate them from sin. We'll
Amen.
Grab this break. Zarin the Addisons on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
So many people view the Christian walk as a series of do's and don'ts, a list of behaviors to be kept. But Christ came for freedom so we would no longer be slaves to the law, but instead would be redeemed through his death, through grace. It seems like such an easy thing. God takes something that seems incomprehensible to our finite minds, our redemption, and makes it accessible to us through Jesus' death on the cross. That in itself should make us take a serious look at the truth embodied in Jesus Christ. It's simple. The truth will set you free. What truth do you know and understand?
Tony Dungy, author of the popular Uncommon book series. More at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Target is in the bullseye because of its transgender bathroom policy.
A petition by the American Family Association to boycott Target now surpassing 1 million signatures and counting.
People have their own beliefs and stuff, but what could it hurt? What could it hurt? What could it hurt?
It hurts our daughters.
It hurts you.
It hurts our families.
It hurts me.
It hurts all of us.
Sign the petition to boycott Target at AFA.net.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
What I want, some Christians who are going to be in a room where there is, you know, partiality on display, and they're going to speak up for the glory of God. I want some Christians who are going to be in a room when you hear someone say something like, oh, you know how they are. I want the Christian who's going to say, what do you mean, non-believers?
Right.
Because the they are those like, who are not who are, covered yeah, by the good. Blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know how they are.
Yeah.
You know how those people do. What do you mean? Those who are in rebellion against God? What are you talking? Because the only they that I know, are those who are yet to come to Christ.
Mm.
The we are those who have now become a people who once were not a people, as the Apostle Peter said.
Right.
That's the we, right? So, because you know, we've got to stick together. We who?
Right. Well, we got to know where your allegiance lie.
Who's right. Your we?
You know?
People speaking all this French. What's your we? We are the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I wish people got that. And I wish people were bold enough to say that. I wish people wouldn't walk around struggling with this man-made concept of white guilt. I get so sick of it, man. I get so sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a whole presentation on it. On what guilt does in the human body.
Mm.
How it actually literally tears down and destroys the body. And this whole idea, this man-made demonic concept of white guilt. So you've got white brothers and sisters right now who are walking around feeling guilty. But here's the problem with what our culture has done.
Mm-hmm.
Guilt requires a reaction.
Right.
Guilt requires that you do something for the guilt to be alleviated. Listen to me closely here. When we feel guilty, it is an internal reaction that we have to something that we have done wrong. It's a conscience for us so that we can rectify it. But now, how do you rectify? How do you alleviate? How do you relieve yourself of guilt when you have not done anything wrong?
Right.
There's no one to whom you're going to go to repent,
right,
and to ask forgiveness. You know, I did this presentation. We were in Tennessee. I did this presentation at a conference. You know, there's a 16-year-old little girl walked up to me. You know what she said? She's tears in her eyes. And she says, I didn't realize that I had been struggling because, you know, I can't change who I am, you know, and I just feel guilty and I don't know what to do about that. I don't, man, you know, I almost come out of my skin because here is my sister for whom Christ died. And now the culture is saying she needs to feel guilty just because of who she is, the color of her skin,
yeah,
an immutable characteristic, yeah, something over which she has no control.
And it's a perpetual grief. Like, that's nothing, you know, it's a perpetual guilt that they feel no way to relieve it.
No way to relieve it. It's
because it's all, you just are guilty.
It's demonic.
Yeah.
And on the opposite side, being a perpetual victim.
Right.
There's no way can overcome. You know how offensive it is? Let me tell you, there's some people who walked up to me, thought they were doing me a favor by talking about my own personal oppression. I know that, you know, you and your people have been oppressed. Man, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. Don't touch me on my shoulder with that. I'm not oppressed. Please, I am victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am more than an overcomer. Do you know that I have the victory over sin in my life because of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God who indwells me? Please do not pat me on the back,
yeah,
and tell me I'm oppressed. Don't give me your oppression.
That's right.
You're not doing me any favors by telling me that I'm a nice, beautiful, lovely victim.
But some get people like here sitting on the comfy couch
of victimhood.
Of victimhood.
No way they're going to get over it.
No. They don't want to.
There's
some people that don't want to. It's a comfy couch.
That's right,
so
Will.
So you just sit down and relax.
They rewrite songs of victimhood.
Man.
I don't feel no way tired, Lord, of being a victim. I don't believe you brought me this far to help me get over this. I think you just, come on. This is ridiculous. Guys, if we take back this narrative from the culture and say that it is powerless within the walls of the church, is powerless in the community, in the fellowship of believers. Like, if we take this narrative, ball it up, and throw it back at these people, do you understand that we would not be as divided as we are? The enemy is trying to weaken the church. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take their narratives? The question about, it's ridiculous to have a question about whether or not we're going to submit to critical race theory within the walls of the church.
Yeah.
That is an offensive affront to the holiness
of God. That's
crazy.
That's a real discussion and conversation that's going on. That's craziness.
All right. Here we go. Back to the phone lines.
All right. Let's go to Jimmy in Hot Springs.
Yes. This is Jim Broadhurst. Mm-hmm. I've been studying Genesis 1 through 11 recently, and I've come to the conclusion that we are one race.
Amen.
There's
mm-hmm.
no multiple races.
Amen.
Adam and Eve and Noah and his wife were our great-great-great-grandparents. We're all brothers and sisters. And I happen to be a light brown.
Come
on
now.
There is anything as white. If I were white, I would be dead.
Come on.
If you take a piece of paper and compare it to my face, I am brown.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my darker brown brothers. I tell them, the Lord bless you with a little bit more melanin than
come
he did
on.
Me. He
mm-hmm.
gave
come
me
on.
Enough melanin. He gave me enough melanin to give me freckles. But he gave my darker brown brothers enough melanin. Their skin is lighter. I mean, their skin is smoother. Their skin is more elastic. They have been blessed by the Lord.
Amen.
He gave me enough, like I said, to give me freckles, and I was a little bit concerned about that, but I am grateful that I got that much.
Jimmy, so, God bless you, brother. Brother, look, let me just tell you, and I love you. I love you. God bless you. I can hear your tender heart, as I think our listeners can hear as well. Glory to God. When we find the truth, we have to hold on to it. When we find the truth, We cannot trade it. We cannot give it up.
Amen.
Don't let the culture infiltrate the church. Look, at the church in Antioch, right? They called Simeon Niger.
Mm-hmm.
His nickname was Black.
Yeah.
You can't be any more comfortable with who you are than to be given the nickname Black. Like, this is not a problem, people.
Yeah.
This is, and Sherry B was telling us the other day. She was like, people can call me Black, Sherry Black. She was like, people can call me Black. I don't have any problems with it. All right, back to the phone lines, Will the Great.
Let's go to Becky in Alexandria, Louisiana. Hey, Becky.
Oh, I love the Addisons. I get a picture in my mind. I was in the military, so I think about the armor. And if you, in the military, if we helped each other get our armor on, it got on tighter and it got on faster. And we can circle the wagons and make a wall around our children. And we can have all the salt in the world in front of us. And if they want to see the us and come into our gates and learn of us, that's good. We'll let them in the gate. So good luck.
Oh,
thank you, Addison.
Thank you.
Is a beautiful picture. That is a beautiful picture. Thank you so much. So well communicated. Amen and amen, amen again. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll just, you know, I didn't intend to go the whole show, but I think people have got a lot on their minds. So let's go through these calls here as quickly as we can. Where do we go next, Will?
Jason in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes,
sir. Yeah. Hey, listen. I want to say this. I'm really get riled up about this, so I'm trying to keep myself calm. But I do know that you cannot call Christianity the white man's religion, because of all the religions in the world, this is the only religion that was assigned by no man. The vessels he originally used to speak his word and to describe the pattern of behavior that we are to exhibit, none of them were of European descent.
Mm-hmm.
So how can it possibly be the white man's religion?
Mm-hmm.
The only time it becomes the white man's religion is if you take the Bible away. Yes, it is true that there were some slaveholders that decided that they didn't want their slaves to know how to read, because if they ever got their hands on that book, I'm telling you, you talk about liberty.
Amen.
There's freedom unprecedented in every person's life if they just got hold of that book. People that say, I've studied Christianity. It's an interesting thing, because when I talk to them and they say they've studied Christianity, they study Christianity from a non-Christian perspective.
Come on.
Understanding the book itself.
Yeah, you're right.
They didn't read the book.
You're right.
Oh, Jason.
You're right.
The oldest trick in the book was when the enemy said, half God said. When I look at the Reformation and how many people died because they wanted to get into the hands of people in Europe to understand what God truly said.
Amen. They wanted to get the Bible. Amen.
A false organization. They didn't want them to read. So that's what I say. It cannot possibly be the white man's religion unless you take the Bible away.
Look, Jason.
Thank you,
look,
Jason.
You know, look, I hate to say this to you, but this is what real wokeness looks like.
Right.
Okay.
Jason,
this
woke.
Is what you, these, this is when your eyes are open. This is when scales have fallen from your eyes and you understand what and who has captured you.
Yeah.
This is what real wokeness looks like. All right, back to the phone lines, Will the Great.
Let's go to Jesse and Franklin. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, I was calling here. I was interested in talking about the culture infecting the church, and I think one big area where we've lost it, too, is that the culture is not just affecting our view of each other when it comes to skin color, but it's also affecting the view of our responsibilities. I mean, look at the government is now the biggest charitable organization. We've given everything over to them. We've allowed that mindset to infect us too. And and I think when it comes to race, I've seen so many people that want to come in the door of the church, and like you said before, like you said, it's always a white church and a black church. And I can tell you, I've gone, you know, I go to church where we have like one black person and like one or two Native Americans maybe. But I walked in the door in an all-black church, and I never felt more love. And because they were my brothers and sisters. There were things in my mind when I walked in there. I didn't walk in there and expect to be treated in a different way. I expected them to treat me as brothers and sisters because we believe the same thing.
Amen.
And as Christians, we have the same responsibilities, which means we got to kick the government out of the charity.
Come on.
You're not a charitable organization. That is not your job. That is my job and my brothers and sisters' job.
Look, okay, Jesse, let me say this now. I am chewing on something right now. I am developing this idea, and I'm praying about this, and I'm asking the Lord to help give me clarity on it. But Jesse, you have hit on something here, and I don't know that you know it, but when you talk about not only the culture infiltrating the church, but you talk about the government infiltrating the church and things like that, that has happened in more ways than mm-hmm. we might imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to throw this out. I'm going to pull the pin out of this grenade, and then I'm just going to walk
gonna,
away.
Cause leave it there for a minute?
I'm just going to leave okay. it because I don't know that we have the time to unpack it. We got one
Probably
more call
not.
We're going to get to. Okay, it's a lot. But I want the body of Christ to be thinking about this right now.
Mm-hmm.
The culture right now, our society, American culture at large, is primed for socialism, and the church is partly responsible.
What?
Now, look, people are like, hold up, don't
How
get
you just
that
gonna
to
say something
okay,
like that?
Let me tell you, I'm just
we
think about
time,
this.
Though.
Okay, just think about this, because we are so comfortable blaming AOC. We are so comfortable blaming Bernie Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
We're so comfortable, right? But let me tell you something. Our churches have, for generations, created a culture whereby your God owes you something.
Mm.
He owes you something. And how do you get from him what he owes you? You got to give up a little bit of something. You got to give to him because he's petty. You got to give to him, and then he'll give back to you. Now, you got to give up something. And look, here's the thing. You're not going to get exactly what you put in, but you got to give something as a mm-hmm. show of good faith.
Mm-hmm.
So we compel it in church, right?
Ooh.
Jesse,
girl,
you look,
stop.
I just will tell you. So get ready, because we're gonna have a discussion on this coming up soon. Uh-oh. We're gonna have a discussion on this, and here is my question: has the church primed America for socialism? Has the church been derelict in her duty to make sure that we paint an accurate picture of who the Lord God is? That He's not the big man in the sky. That if you give Him a little bit, mm-hmm. then you'll get a lot from Him. That he owes you something. And then if we have this parallel understanding of government, that government is a type of God, and then government also owes us something. So, of course, if I have to give up a little bit of something, maybe a little bit of freedom, maybe a little bit of liberty, I'll do that because, you know, government's going to take care of me. That's what they do, right? I really think we have a greater responsibility than we realize.
Wow.
Let's squeeze in one more call.
All right, Ulysses in Memphis. Ulysses, what's up?
How y'all doing today?
Good, man.
How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, brother.
Hey, you know, y'all were talking earlier about melanin. You know, melanin is Latin for brown.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
That's so the whole concept of being a spectrum of brown
mm-hmm.
is absolutely correct. Mickey, I also heard you talking about this whole thing about guilt and white guilt and everything.
You know where I stand on this, Ulysses. You've listened to us for a long time. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You know, guilt is manipulation.
That's right.
It's a form of witchcraft.
Yes.
It's a form of witchcraft.
That's right.
So what's being taught is black people are growing up learning how to manipulate white people into them feeling guilty. By doing this, we see people fall underneath the spell. This spell that takes us further away from God, because it puts the focus and the emphasis on this thing that is temporary. And ultimately, like y'all said earlier, man, it was so brilliant when y'all was saying he only sees light and dark. He only sees those who are walking in the light and those who are in the dark.
Yeah, because that was our call. We got to make sure we give him credit for that. Hey, Ulysses, I'm so sorry, brother. I got to jump in because we're all almost out of time here. Let me just say this. Jonah, I'm sorry we couldn't get to your call today. I feel like the Lord is going to judge us because we didn't let Jonah through. We'll be back with you tomorrow if the Lord wills it. Until then, Lord willing.
God bless.
Sorry.